Saturday Night Meditation, November 24th, 2007. The question tonight, quote, is, what are the key barriers to and requirements for making contact with intelligent infinity?
Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We are those known to you as the principle of Akuo. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, in whose service we come to you this day. It is a great privilege and pleasure to be with you this evening, to share your meditation and to experience the beauty of your blended auras as you build in your circle of seeking a sacred place. The arching light of your circle grows every second and is beautiful to behold. We thank you for calling us to your circle of seeking. We are happy indeed to share our thoughts with you concerning the subject of the barriers to and the requirements for opening the gateway to intelligent infinity. However, as always, we would ask before we begin that each of you use your judgment as you listen to those things which we have to share. It is not possible for all of our remarks to be appropriate for all of those who listen to or read our words. So as you listen, when something resonates to you, then by all means work with it if you wish. But if something does not resonate to you, please leave it behind. We would not wish to be a stumbling block before you. We appreciate your diligence in this discrimination, for it frees us to be unconcerned about whether or not we might infringe on your free will or disturb the process of your spiritual seeking. Thank you for your kindness in this regard. Your query places a question about the barriers to using the gateway to intelligent infinity before discussing the requirements for such use. However, we would prefer to discuss the requirements first, so that as we speak of the barriers, it will be obvious as to why certain things are indeed barriers. You are marvelous creatures. Each of you is incredibly complex and at the same time utterly simple. Your energy bodies are those unseen parts of you that have molded your physical body. And the energy body is the essence of you as a person, or as those of Ra called it, as a mind-body-spirit complex. The seven chakras of the energy body are all important to the functioning of your physical body as well as your finer bodies. The gateway to intelligent infinity is at the very top of those chakras, involving the indigo ray and the violet ray chakras. Springing from the open heart, the seeker may open the gate to intelligent infinity by moving into the violet ray through the indigo ray, and with desire and will, focusing in firm intention. And asking that work may be done in consciousness. And so you open in the gateway to intelligent infinity, the door to those specific inspirations which are desired, as opposed to the general and ever-flowing inspiration of the open heart, which abides in love itself, love complete and love untouched by any other energy. With the gateway open, you become able to work with more specific types of guidance, that though specific are in general unheard and pouring into the heart itself in concept and essence rather than in thought and in words. The nurturing and care of the energy body is very important to those who wish to use the gateway to intelligent infinity in their seeking. Indeed, entities who are blocked in the lower three chakras are not able to sustain a full flow of the infinite Creator's energy that comes from the bottom of the chakra system upwards and moves through the chakras, exiting at the crown of the head. The first requirement for working with the gateway to intelligent infinity is that the heart be open. Consequently, although many seekers do not wish to continue to work intensively with the lower three chakras, it is our opinion that it is essential to continue to work with those three chakras, giving them all of the honor and respect that you give the higher chakras. That which tends to block red ray is a level of depression that argues against life and the joy of life, and difficulties with sexuality. Because of the fact that the red ray deals with matters of survival and sexuality, those who are limping along with no true appreciation of life are going to be limiting the flow of energy into their very first chakra, and therefore receiving into the heart only a fraction of the power or the energy that is available from the Creator. The orange ray chakra being the seat of relationships of a personal nature with yourself and with others is blocked when there is a difficulty in those relationships, which causes the chakra either to be blocked or to be overactivated. So it is well to have a continuing focus in each relationship that is your privilege to sustain for the vibrational harmony between you and the other, or indeed the harmony between you and yourself. So often the issues that you have with yourself can be quite toxic in terms of limiting the light that is flowing through that chakra. So it is well to spend time becoming sweet with yourself and with other selves as well. The yellow ray chakra is the chakra of group relationships or legal relationships, such as the birth family, the marriage family, the work family, and other groups that create their own energies and have their own, shall we say, oversoul. And in this chakra, too, the usual causes of blockage have to do with difficulties in these relationships. And again, because it is so easy to be blocked, at least momentarily, in yellow ray, It is a wise seeker who tunes his heart and his attention when dealing with these relationships in order that harmony may prevail. And when harmony has been lost from a certain situation, it is well to seek ways to restore it. For this restores the flow of energy through that chakra and into the open heart. Once an entity has reached the point where the heart is open and flowing freely, he may then choose to move into the higher chakras. And if he wishes to do work in consciousness, such as meditation, healing, prayer, or inspirational reading and reflection, he moves very consciously and deliberately into the indigo ray chakra, a home of faith, here, one is dealing always with unseen things. In the indigo ray, one has left the physical body behind. The indigo ray is physically placed at the third eye position, at which the Hindu monk will place a red dot. For in the Hindu system of belief, there is a great appreciation of this chakra. And it is believed by them as well as us that it is the gateway, the door to direct contact with intelligent infinity, or as they would put it, the creator. Dwelling in indigo ray, the seeker begins to approach the gateway by the use of silence. It is necessary that the mind be still to a great extent. So that inspiration, which is being sought, may have room to flow into the chakra body through the violet ray and then the indigo, then to be seated in the heart. Once that connection has been made and there is a downflow of inspiration and information matching the upflow of the creator's energy, it is possible to work in consciousness simply by allowing that flow to occur and being aware consciously of that flow. For indeed, you are seated in the midst of a beautiful fountain of light, when the gateway is open and inspiration is moving in. It is within the blessing of that presence that one takes up the work of that beau geste of seeking to know the truth, seeking to feel the insights that only come to a faithful and listening heart. The barriers to work with the gateway to intelligent infinity are those things that would block an entity in any of the rays up through the heart. Perhaps the most pervasive blockage found in spiritual seekers is a feeling of low self-worth, a feeling of unworthiness to do the work at hand. The one known as Talitha spoke recently to this instrument of the depth of searching that she has gone through since the homecoming gathering that this entity attended at L&L Research asked the question, "Who am I?" As she has delved into that question more and more, she has found a great deal of work that she feels the need to do in order to become a more sturdy and more stable individual, spiritually speaking. And the one known as Talitha said that she found a great deal of self-judgment as she approached the question of who am I. We do not attempt to suggest to you that you make no mistakes. To be a third density human being, my friends, is to be error prone. You are dwelling within a heavy illusion. And your culture has many, many distortions that make it almost impossible to know what the truly ethical or right thing is to do at certain times. Further, in human nature, there is an unevenness of focus that is almost always present to some extent within the personality, so that on one day you may feel that you are doing very well with the catalyst that you have, and on another day you may feel that you are doing quite poorly at it, handling things in clumsy ways and saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. We would encourage you to lift away from self-judgment at times when you feel that you have made an error. It is well to observe errors in yourself when they occur. That is how one learns, by making mistakes. As entities become more and more spiritually mature, they find a delight in using the fruits of their self-knowledge of the past. And so the heavy burden of self-doubt and a feeling of low self-worth is a little bit easier to dissolve. Yet always there is a disappointment that strikes a seeker when he realizes that he has made an error. He cannot go back and fix it. He simply must begin again and hope to remember the graceful way, the loving way, the compassionate way to handle catalyst of this kind when it comes around again, as it most surely will. Self-criticism and self-judgment are a powerful source of blockage. There is within many seekers the desire to make a difference in the world, to help others and serve good causes. Yet, in that same general run of seekers, there's often a prejudice against working on the self, for it seems selfish to be absorbed in the processes of the self. It is our opinion that it is in healing yourself that you heal the world. It is in learning to love yourself that you learn to love others. It is in finding compassion at last for yourself that you are finally able to have compassion on others. It is in blessing your own suffering by respecting it, honoring it, and forgiving it in yourself that you become able to behold the suffering of the world in its massive and almost infinite depth. It is necessary, really, for you to fall in love with yourself. Self-judgment cannot be overcome. It must be balanced by compassion. You are bound to make mistakes and come under the possibility of judgment. Yet also, do you have within you creatorship so that you are never in a position of having failed? For longer than it takes for you to turn again to the light and start afresh. There are various techniques for falling in love with yourself. Yet if you, but be present with yourself and become aware of the wide range of emotions that you feel. That may be the most direct way to become kindly affectionate toward yourself, like yourself, and ultimately, gloriously, genuinely, truly fall in love with yourself, just as you are. You are perfect. This need not give you any cause for arrogance or pride. All entities are perfect. All entities are the Creator. Yet you dwell in the creation you have made. So pamper yourself with good thoughts, good experiences, and frequent dips in the waters of truth and beauty and inspiration in whatever ways appeal to you. Another very common barrier that closes the energy body down in whatever chakra it is originating from is fear. There is any number of ways to be afraid. One may have a condition of chronic fear because of those things which have occurred and have been difficult catalysts to bear. There are ways to be afraid of the future. There may be fear surrounding the very process of getting to know yourself, for you have a healthy and thriving shadow side, and you must acquaint yourself with that, as well as with the part that takes your fancy, that part that is in the sunlight and likable. However fear does come upon you, it will block the flow of energy through the chakra system. And so we recommend the exercise of balancing to be performed at least daily in the evening. At the end of your day, when you have a little time to reflect on what has occurred, ask yourself what thoughts you may have had this day, where your even tenor and your open heart were interrupted, even momentarily. And then move to those points of departure from the even keel of an open and flowing energy body. If some issue has arisen that has closed the heart even for a second, it is well to move into that emotion once again, relive it and even exaggerate it so that you have a very conscious and thoughtful awareness of just what happened, just what it was that caused that feeling of, say, impatience or anger or jealousy or even great joy. anything that takes you away from the open heart and stops the flow of energy is deserving of an examination. And once you have thoroughly re-experienced this moment where catalyst became too much for you and closed your energy system down, then allow yourself to begin to experience the dynamic opposite of that emotion. If you felt impatience, because another driver on the road cut you off, charging onto the expressway without regard for your car. Imagine the situation again, only this time imagine yourself having complete patience, utter tranquility, and emphasize and exaggerate that feeling until you are swept away by it. Then release both dynamic opposites of patience and impatience and see how much more balanced you feel. Do this in the case of each of those thoughts or emotions that have thrown you off balance during the day. Reflect upon each of them. Honor them. Experience them. Balance them. And restore your energy body to a good, even flow. You may find yourself wanting to tune up your energy body during the day as well. And it can be done in a moment if you wish to use that moment. We do not suggest shaping your thoughts because you know those are the thoughts that you should have. Should is not a word that is helpful in spiritual seeking. It has nothing to do with the open and spontaneous flow of the love and the light of the one infinite creator with which you are attempting to work. Each of your thoughts is appropriate in its own way and true and good. And it is what is. Therefore, it is in that open and spontaneous flow of thinking and acting and feeling that the meat of the seeker's learning lies. So when we say to tune up the self, we do not mean to alter the behavior, but rather to open the self to the awareness of the Creator. When you are able to do this even momentarily, it opens up the chakra body and allows the energy to move freely. This entity is a mystical Christian, and often she has a one-word prayer that she uses. It is Jesus. That one word can alter her entire attitude. There are key words for each of you. For the one known as Romy, it was the word remember. Find those key phrases that make your heart smile and that restore the flow of good energy through your body. We would at this time ask if there are follow-up questions that we may respond to at this time.
Is a strong and physically fit body in terms of muscle strength and cardiovascular fitness helpful in the mystical search for unity? Assuming that the mental prerequisites of self-knowledge, acceptance, and balance have been sufficiently met within the entity who wishes to make contact with intelligence infinity, is a healthy and strong body helpful for the channeling of intelligent infinity and intelligent energy? What's the proper role for the body, for the entity who seeks intelligent infinity?
We are those who believe we are aware of your query, my brother. The proper role of the physical body for each of you is to carry the consciousness that is your self as a soul. Certainly a healthy body is helpful in that there are no aches and pains to distract one from spiritual seeking. It is rather in the attitude towards the body than the body itself that the use of the body is found, spiritually speaking. If one realizes that bodies are sacred, that they are temples in which dwell the one infinite creator, then it can be seen that whether healthy or not healthy, each body is a beautiful servant that has given its entire life over so that you may, as a soul, learn your lessons, offer your service, laugh, love, and be loved within this illusion. Consequently, you want to be very good to your body. It is often an expression of spiritual purity that creates in people the desire to eat a good diet that is respectful to that which the body truly needs. It can be used that way as a vehicle of transformation. It helps to realize how essential the physical vehicle is. You would not be able to experience the school of souls that third density is if you did not have a physical vehicle to anchor you into the vibrations of this illusion. Without that physical body, heavy as it may seem at times, you would have no ability to affect changes as you wish to affect changes within your own self at far deeper levels than the surface of life. It is well, therefore, to have a great appreciation and affection for your body. Indeed, one of the ways to enter the gateway of intelligent infinity is sacred sexuality, in which the body itself experiences that orgasmic joy and power that is the steady state of the one infinite creator's consciousness. May we ask if there is another query?
Billions of entities there are who call out to and seek that which they feel to be the one infinite creator, each in their own local, unique, and distorted fashion. Of those who are truly hungry for the truth, what makes the difference between those who succeed in realizing the divine within and those who leave their incarnation as ignorant as they came into it?
We are those of Kuo and believe we understand your query. All of those millions of whom you speak, seeking in each their unique way. If they truly do seek, they have truly found. There is no failure rate whatsoever in terms of seeking not being answered. That which is asked in faith is answered one way or another. Perhaps for those who feel that they have never received any spiritual enlightenment, there are continuing blocks which keep that entity from perceiving the answers that have been given to the questions that were asked. Yet those answers have been given, and the good of them is locked within the heart for a time when the entity's mind is not deafened by doubting. Perception plays a tremendous role in terms of whether or not a seeker feels successful in his seeking. It is our way of thinking that the seeking creates its own success, not in terms of results or effects, but in terms of the seeking being the reward. It is not getting to the end of the journey of spiritual seeking that holds the reward, in our opinion, as much as it is the journey itself. It is not the questions that are answered that holds the virtue for the spiritual seeker. Rather, it is the questions that are asked. Spirituality is a movement beyond words and beyond the crutches of perception that give a limited physical existence its bounds. Without words, without anything but feelings and sensings and the knowing of gnosis or insight, a seeker can be doing tremendous work at the soul level, and because of a lack of perceiving the virtue of that work in and of itself, may shut himself off from feeling that he has made any gains whatsoever. It generally goes back to that process of not only getting to know the self, but becoming willing to fall in love with the self. It makes the difference in perception between a seeker who does not feel that he is doing well and a seeker who is satisfied simply to be on the journey and to have the day's light in which to do his work. May we ask if there is another query at this time?
For one desiring the development of mystical consciousness, is the ingestion of alcohol or other mind-altering intoxicants inhibitive to growth on any level, mental, physical, or spiritual, or does it cause a regression in growth?
We are those out cool and are aware of your query, my brother. The We are those of Kuo and are aware of your query, my brother. The intake of substances that alter consciousness is not recommended as a means of attaining spiritual learning. It is far better to allow a natural development of spiritual powers than to try to attain them by the use of substances which put one artificially in a more pure and fine state of awareness. When alcohol is taken in or when various drugs are used, depending on the nature of the drug, it shuts down the ability to do spiritual work at that time to one extent or another, depending on the substance. Consequently, if one wishes to have alcohol and become merry or to indulge in other drug use which seems good to that person, he needs to be aware that he will not be able to have that acuity of mind and that control over the use of the will that go hand in hand with spiritual work. Once the effects of the substance have worn off, the entity is back where he started and able to use his normal faculties in his normal ways. There's nothing intrinsically negative in the use of such substances. It may be seen that for one who wishes to do spiritual work, it is well not to use such substances. Yet one has many moods, and we do not frown upon those who wish to take some relaxation time. Indeed, we feel that the addiction that many of your peoples have to watching television or playing video games has just exactly the same damping effect on spirituality. One cannot do spiritual work when one is totally involved in a video game or watching a show on television, and yet those things are enjoyable and are there for you to use when you wish to use them. It is a matter of doing that which you wish to do, for that is why you came into incarnation, to experience those things you wish to experience. You may see that it is good to balance the times of recreation, amusement, distraction, and social situations of no great spiritual moment, shall we say, with those activities and interests that indeed have a good deal of spiritual worth, so that you have a varied menu of things in your day, some focused and highly intense, and others relaxed and full of the enjoyment of life. it is well to have a wide range of things, those seemingly good for you and those seemingly not so good for you, but which you desire anyway. Follow your desires, but always be aware that you have the opportunity at all times to choose that which you wish to do. And ask yourself, is this what I wish to do? If it is, enjoy yourself. But if it involves the taking of substances that damp down your ability to do spiritual work, then accept that and know that that is a time in your day or in your week when you have laid aside a direct assault on the gateway to intelligent infinity and instead have decided simply to amuse yourself with some of those distractions that your earth plane offers. In no case do you need to judge yourself for wishing to have a glass of wine, for instance. All things are acceptable. It is your choice as to when you wish to place yourself outside the pale of work within the gateway to intelligent infinity. May we ask if there is another query at this time?
In the case of the pyramid, a technology was used to accelerate the natural growth of the entity to that point at which they would move through the mystical death and rebirth of the resurrected self. Are there any other similar technologies in today's world comparable in function to what the pyramids offer?
We are those of Kuo and are aware of your query, my brother. The closest analog to the shaman's experience of death that the place below the pyramid offered is the American Indian tradition of the sweat lodge and the vision quest. In the sweat lodge, the heat takes one beyond the bounds of usual human awareness. It feels very much like a death, or as if one is close to death. And this is often a trigger for new awareness and the epiphany of the moment that has been sought. Similarly, the vision quest, with its extreme levels of discomfort, offers to that seeker a chance to move beyond the usual bounds of what is considered acceptable when one is too sleepless for too long, too hungry for too long, too uncomfortable for too long, and so forth. There comes a time when one goes beyond all of those limitations. It is forced into a kind of state of abeyance by the very intensity of the discomfort. And this also is a death-like experience. The technique can, however, be employed on a far less strenuous basis. And the one known as Gary has often made use of these limited fasts. A time of fasting doesn't feel like death, certainly, but it feels uncomfortable. And when it is fasting with an intention, then it is giving honor to that intention. And the result of such a fast often is an enhanced awareness that comes from having sacrificed comfort in order to offer the self a spiritual road to walk. You may almost see this death of the shaman as a kind of game for the intention of the shaman in creating within himself the feeling of death or the experience of death is to wake back up into the daylight and to realize for the first time what a gift life is. And this can be realized without the death experience by one who is sensitive and imaginative and who can put himself into that awareness of the place beneath the pyramid or the earth in the sweat lodge or the person on the vision quest who is going without hunger, going without food and sleep in asking for enlightenment. Indeed, this realization of how sweet and wonderful an opportunity each day is can be cultivated without the death experience or the analog to the death experience. And we would recommend focusing each and every day on Thanksgiving for being alive, being able to experience this beautiful creation that you experience each day. When you realize that you are entirely free to seek the Creator this day, it is a wonderful realization, and it turns the most dreary of days and the most burdensome of occupations into a dance of delight. May we ask if there is another query at this time?
Not from here.
May we ask if there is another query that is not on that page from the one known as Gary at this time?
No, not at this time. Thank you,
brother. And we thank you, my brother. In that case, we would ask if there is a query from anyone in the group at this time.
Not from me.
We are those of Guo, and since we seem to have exhausted the questions in this group at this time, let us iterate to you our thanks, our gratitude, and our pleasure at being asked to be part of your circle of seeking this evening. It has been a true delight for us. You help us so much by allowing us to attempt to be of service to you. And you teach us so much each time that we interact with you. We thank you with all of our collective heart. At this time, we would leave this instrument and this group in the love and in the light, in the peace, and in the power of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as the principle of Ukul. Adonai. Adonai. As we let the light that we have gathered in this group go back to the one infinite creator, let us place in that light our hopes, our dreams, and our prayers for healing, especially Gary, Carla, Michelle, Melissa, Don, Ariane, Albine, Jean-Pierre, Steve and Damon. Any other requests? The image goes up. Let the reins fall down. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one.